Jim Packard with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today. Now we talk about the life and political career of Senator Robert M. La Follette. Rob La Follette is otherwise known as Fighting Bob La Follette, and Nancy Unger is Associate Professor of History at Santa Clara University in California and has written a book called Fighting Bob La Follette, The Righteous Reformer. It's published in paperback now by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, and you can get more information about that by going to wisconsinhistory.org. Nancy Unger, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, I'm just delighted to be on your program.
I know that you have a blitzkrieg of activities coming up in Wisconsin in the next few weeks or a few days, and we'll talk about your appearances, which include going to Baraboo to Fighting Bob Fest.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's going to be a great time.
And that is on Saturday, September 6th. You also have appearances at the Wisconsin Historical Museum that night, appearances at Borders West in Madison, the UW-Milwaukee Bookstore, Schwartz Bookstore in Brookfield, and we'll get to all of that as well. This book was originally published in 2000. It's updated. It contains a new preface. Why do you see an increasing urgency in understanding and appreciating the progressive legacy of Bob La Follette?
Well, it just seems to me that there are so many of the issues that La Follette faced in his day are so similar to the issues that we're facing today. And so often I hear people say, I get very impatient with hearing, well, you know, political corruption is just, you know, so out of control, it can't be brought to heel. These big businesses are so powerful, there's no way to discipline them. And so I think looking at what La Follette and the other progressives did, and this is where Wisconsin really was leading the nation, shows us that, you know, people can make a difference, and there can be real meaningful change. So it's not just sort of a historical exercise for me. For me, this is really something that we need to know about in 2008.
Mm-hmm. La Follette led the opposition to American entry into World War I, and he made a remarkable third-party bid for the presidency in 1924. But his righteous fervor was not without consequence, and he suffered financially, physically, and emotionally from this enormous pressure that he exerted on himself. Talk about that.
Well, this is one of the things that I find both admirable and frustrating about La Follette, is that he is so uncompromising. He actually says, he and Theodore Roosevelt are one time having an argument about a conservation measure. And Roosevelt says, well, look, I want to get something through. He says, you know, half a loaf is better than no loaf. You know, let's get what we can get. And Bob La Follette says, no, no. He says, no loaf is better than half a loaf. You get half a load, it dulls the appetite, and you don't really fight to attain the full loaf. So this is a man who won't compromise, which makes him admirable in many ways, but also, I mean, this is what politics is the art of compromise. So that kind of, you know, uncompromising, you know, certainty is going to bring him a lot of enemies. Even people who are on his side become frustrated by him.
Nancy Unger is our guest, and if you'd like to join the conversation with questions, comments about Senator Robert M. La Follette and the progressive movement, give us a call if you're in Madison at 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. Talk about the similarities that you see between the Gilded Age 100 years ago and the Gilded Age of today.
Well, as I said, I think that they're really quite remarkable. On the one hand, I mean, a gilded age means sort of a gold-plated age. So that gold plating in both periods is very similar. Lots of new technology and fabulous inventions, fantastic lifestyles of the rich and famous. But at the same time, we've got immigrants pouring in who are finding that they can't climb that same ladder of success. We see huge trusts that are controlling entire markets. So there are, you know, there's glorious things going on, but underneath there are lots of urban and industrial problems. Particularly in both periods, I think you see a lot of political corruption. And another real common factor is in both periods, especially, you know, later in the Gilded Age, we see the United States enter a very controversial war. So on both the domestic front and the foreign front, I think think there are lots and lots of similarities.
The book is called Fighting Bob La Follette, The Righteous Reformer. It is now in paperback and has been updated, and it's published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Let's set Bob La Follette's sort of background for those people who know his name but don't know much about him, born in the Madison area.
He was born in Primrose, Wisconsin, in the proverbial log cabin. And the thing that I find so striking about La Follette, he was only 8 months old when his father dies. And his mother, from when he's a little tiny kid, really impresses upon him what a great man his father was and how righteous he was and how Bob, when he grows up, must also always do right. And, I mean, I don't think that's all that unusual, but how deeply this seems to have gotten into La Follette's psyche, to the point that when he is 39 years old, he has his father's grave exhumed. He wants so much to know more about this father. He goes out with the grave digger, and they go out, they dig up the grave, and he takes out the relics and puts them together and takes them to the local doctor, and they talk about them. I mean, clearly this is a man who wants to know more about this father and really wants to, you know, live up to this phantom father's ideals. So it's a pretty gripping story, and I think it helps to understand why La Follette is so uncompromising and is just so determined throughout his life to do what he sees as right.
And he then has a stepfather. His mother marries. And what was the relationship then between he and the stepfather?
It was pretty harsh. The stepfather was a much older man in his 70s when La Follette is still a pretty small child. The stepfather has no patience for this rambunctious boy. And it was not at all uncommon for parents to use corporal punishment. But this stepfather beats Bob La Follette enough that his mother would try to step in, and it's a pretty grim situation. And you know, La Follette is he's a Wisconsin boy. He's out there working the farm and works very hard. After the stepfather dies, he continues to work the farm, and it's partly through his labors that he's able to go to the University of Wisconsin.
Physically, he's not very tall.
Well, except if you add the hair.
Right. He had this beautiful head of hair all
pompadour,
through his life.
This great head of hair.
Added at least 3-4 inches to his length.
Yeah, he's about 5'6", but with his hair, he's about 5'9". And I'm particularly partial to that hair because it made him so distinctive, which made him a political cartoonist's dream. So one of the things you'll find in the book and that I really enjoyed are all the political cartoons, these caricatures of Bob La Follette, and you can always pick him out because he's the one with this great hair.
Mm-hmm. And as a child, you write about him being irrepressible, extroverted, he made his first public speech between the ages of 3 and 4 at a local schoolhouse, where he had to stand on the teacher's desk to be seen by the people who showed up, and he recited the poem, "You'd Not Expect One of My Age to Speak in Public on the Stage," and I presume much more than
okay.
that.
Yeah. Isn't that a charming story? So and it's just so classic La Follette, because the fact that he was a short kind of kind of a fireplug of a figure. He loves to speak. And, you know, when he's speaking, no one is taller. He is just a mesmerizing speaker, even as a little kid. And, of course, this is before television, before radio comes in very late in his life. And so La Follette knew how to speak to a crowd. He gave the big hammy gestures. He could project his voice to the back. They called him a four-pitcher man because sometimes that was how much water he would consume over the hours of his speeches. And people, that it's amazing. Crowds would stay for hours and beg for more. He was a very brief audio tape. Actually, it's got some video as well of La Follette speaking in 1924, when he's 69 years old. And you really get a sense of what a powerful magnetic speaker he was.
Let's take some calls before going to the news. Joan in Milwaukee, what can we do for you?
Well, I was just curious. The La Follettes were heroes in our home as I grew up. Well, I'm 78 now, so my parents thought he was great. But I have a comment and a question. The La Follette of Wisconsin, Love and Politics in Progressive America by Bernard Weisberger, was a book that was came out in, I think, 94, written by the University of Wisconsin Press. My first question is that I'm wondering if you referred to that for your book, and if you are going to be at the Fighting Bob Fest in Baraboo this year. That started at a family bed and breakfast, Thunder Valley Inn, at the Dells some years ago, and there were 100 people there, but they were all the Follett followers, and Ed Garvey was the leader, and my, how it grew.
Well, Joan, I'm thrilled to hear from you. I love to talk to people who know the La Follette story and have that family, you know, long history of La Follette support. I do know Bernard Weisberger's book about the La Follettes, and yes, I did use it when I was doing my own research. And Bernie Weisberger is a fabulous historian and did a great job with that book. And yes, I will be at the Fighting Bob Fest. I've been to the past several fests. And, you know, here in California, I am so envious of Wisconsin and the political activity. One of the first times I went to that fest, I was sitting in the stands and looking at the number of people who were there, and I looked up and saw buses coming in, busloads of people coming in to this progressive political gathering. And, I mean, I was just absolutely thrilled. It was a very moving moment for me. So I think that people in Wisconsin really, you know, they still have that progressive enthusiasm and that commitment that they will come out for a day and really, you know, listen to speeches and talk to each other and talk realistically about what can be done to make Wisconsin and the country a better place. And that's exactly what Bob La Follette was all about. So I really think that this is a dynasty, a legacy that's continuing.
Nancy Unger will appear at Fighting Bob Fest, takes place Saturday, September 6th at the Sauk County Fairgrounds, located just east of Baraboo on Highway 33. It starts at 8:45 in the morning and runs till 5 in the afternoon. Nancy, we will take time to catch up on the latest news and then come back and take more calls here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 noon. I'm Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you along as we talk about the life and political career of Senator Robert M. La Follette of Wisconsin. Nancy Unger is Associate Professor of History at Santa Clara University. She's published many articles and essays on the La Follette family and the Progressive Era. She has served on the editorial board and is book review editor for the Journal of the Gilded Age and Progressive Era. Her op-eds applying the progressive tradition to the present are syndicated by the History News Service and have appeared in major newspapers across the country. Professor Unger's radio appearances include Wisconsin Public Radio and Air America, and she has served as a consultant for PBS. Her current book project is Beyond Nature's Housekeepers, Turning Points for Women in American Environmental History. We'll talk more about Nancy Unger and take your calls after the news from NPR. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Jim Packard, and we're talking about the life and political career of Senator Robert M. La Follette. Our guest is Nancy Unger, who is the Associate Professor of History at Santa Clara University in California and the author of Fighting Bob La Follette, The Righteous Reformer. It's published in paperback by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. More about that at wisconsinhistory.org. And Nancy, thanks so much again for spending time with us today.
Oh, it's just a pleasure to be able to talk to Wisconsinites about one of their own.
We talked about the 2008 version of Fighting Bob Fest. It'll take place Saturday, September 6th at the Sauk County Fairgrounds, just east of Baraboo on Highway 33. From 8:45 to 5 p.m., the largest political gathering in the state, if not the country. It's the seventh consecutive year that the Capital Times and the website FightingBob.com have held the event. Someone had called wondering whether there would be buses leaving from Madison for the Fighting Bob Fest. I don't know, but I know that you can find out the answer at FightingBob.com. And other appearances that will bring you to Wisconsin include an event at the Wisconsin Historical Museum on September 9th during the noon hour.
Yeah, that's a History Sandwich Dinner, which I think is a great name. You can bring your lunch, and I'll be giving a presentation about Fighting Bob, and something you can't get on radio. I will have PowerPoint, so I have some wonderful photographs to illustrate this and help people get a sense of who Bob La Follette and his entire family, who they were, what they were all about.
That evening, you'll be at Borders West on University Avenue in Madison. That's the evening of September 9th.
Yeah. And at that event, also, I'll be talking about the La Follettes, and I'm so excited about this paperback edition. It's a handsome book. The Wisconsin Historical Society Press did a fabulous job, and the pictures I think turned out really well. And I'm really eager to have a chance to talk to people about it and to take their questions and have a discussion.
And then on, I believe it's Tuesday, the 10th, you'll be at the Milwaukee Bookstore on September 10th, UW-Milwaukee from 4 to 6 p.m., and then go over to Schwartz Bookstore in Brookfield on the evening of September 10th at 7 p.m. for a reading and signing there.
Yeah, I'm going to be busy. I'm going to make the most of my time in Wisconsin, and I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to it.
If you'd like to join this conversation as we continue talking about Fighting Bob La Follette, the Righteous Reformer, all you have to do is call us. If you're in Madison, the number is 263-1890. Otherwise, toll free at 800-642-1234. And Melissa's been waiting a while, so let's go to Melissa. Hi, what can we do for you?
Hi. I have a comment and a question. I actually graduated from Santa Clara in 2004. I was actually a history major. And Professor Unger, I took your class in, the geography of the United States. So it's nice to hear from somebody from California, even though it's on the radio. Someone from Santa Clara, even. So nice
this
to hear.
This is wonderful. Go ahead, Melissa.
Well, my husband's son and I just moved to Madison, literally just a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, and kind of the only thing I know about the history of Wisconsin is the few things I've heard about from you about the Fighting Bob La Follette. And I'm wondering, are there any exhibits or landmarks in the Madison area that we can check out to kind of learn a little bit about him, and then obviously we'll go ahead and go out and buy your book as well. But where can we start off with a museum exhibit or landmark?
Well, I would start with the Wisconsin Historical Museum. It's right there in the main square there in Madison, right by the Capitol building. And, I mean, Wisconsin knows how to do history. It is, not only is there a wonderful exhibit about Bob La Follette, also about his sons who have picked up his dynasty, but you'll get the whole... If you're sort of new to Wisconsin, well, if you're old to Wisconsin, no matter what, you really need to visit that museum in Madison. It just is spectacular. It's really very well designed. It's user-friendly. It's fun. I can't recommend it enough.
Okay. Great. Well, again, nice to hear from you.
It's wonderful. Wonderful to hear from you. Congratulations on all your successes. Sounds like life's going well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
very good.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much for calling, Melissa. And we do have lines open for your call in case you have a question or a comment about La Follette in Madison, 263-1890, or toll free at 800-642-1234. You mentioned his sons. Let's talk about the remarkable La Follette family, including Belle, the first woman to graduate from the UW-Madison Law School.
Yeah, now she is something else. And one of the things I really admire about Bob La Follette is that he was proud of his feminist wife. I mean, she was a big women's suffrage leader, but by the time, you know, she matured as a woman, not only had she gone through the law school, but, you know, she was married to a very demanding man. They had four children. It's a very demanding life, and she thinks a lot about this, and she really is a powerful, a dedicated feminist, and he thinks that's great. He always refers to her as his wisest and best counselor, and when he's faced with a really important important, heavy decision, he openly says, well, you know, I have to talk to Bell about it first. They really are quite a remarkable team. And the thing that I like about Bell La Follette is in some ways she reminds me of Eleanor Roosevelt in that she could be even more radical than her husband. He has constraints of office and so forth. But, for example, in 1913 when they're in Washington, D.C., Woodrow Wilson's administration is segregating the streetcars, segregating federal offices, and she just really spearheads the protest against this and gives speeches to black audiences, white audiences, has a whole campaign in La Follette's magazine, and really is very, very outspoken. So she's not, you know, the little woman behind the great man. She's the great woman next to the great man. And I've got a chapter on her in the book, and I really think that she's definitely a part of this whole story.
Two of the four children become active politically. Robert Jr., who succeeded Robert Sr. in the U.S. Senate, did he not?
Yes, he did. He was the other son, Phil, was a little bit younger, wasn't quite old enough to legally serve in the U.S. Senate. And when La Follette dies, there's quite a push for Belle La Follette to run. That would have made her the first woman elected to the Senate. Mm-hmm. But she demurs. She said as much as she would like to, you know, take this step for women and so forth, it's just not in her nature to take that kind of position. So she, although Phil La Follette would have loved to have had it, La Follette Jr. is the one who's old enough to run. And this is a man who really has the pressures of the world on his shoulder. His father has always pushed him to be a great political leader. And I thought it was very telling at one point during the campaign, Jr.'s campaign, to take his father's seat. He's giving a speech, and somebody in the crowd heckles him and says, "You ain't as good as your pa, and you never will be." And Jr. says, "Oh, no one knows that better than I, my friend. No one knows that better than I." But he does get into the U.S. Senate. He serves admirably for 21 years, which is 3 years longer than his father did. And, in fact, he stays in the Senate until 1946 when he is defeated, Jim, by?
By?
Joe McCarthy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, by Joe McCarthy. So, which of course is just devastating to La Follette personally and to the ongoing progressive movement in Wisconsin. And so, poor Junior has a very difficult time with this. Feels that he's let his father down, and ultimately takes his own life.
Tell our listeners, if you had to describe the progressive movement in a minute or less, how would you describe it?
I would say, well, Bob La Follette says, the biggest problem we have is the encroachment of the powerful few upon the rights of the many. So the progressives basically are setting out to more equitably redistribute the wealth and power of the United States. So it's a pretty tall order, but mm-hmm. basically they say, look, we're a great nation. We have tremendous resources, great technology, but we've been, you know, really focusing on sort of profit and, political clout and so forth. And now it's time to, you know, kind of take a step back and really think more about sort of the human element of this, not just how can we make our factories the most profitable, but how can we make them safer? So they look at very basic things like wages and hours and safety conditions and lighting and educational reform and a lot of real sort of nuts and bolts day to day. How can we make life better?
Among his colleagues in the Senate then and now, how is he regarded as a senator?
Well, he continually makes, you know, the list of the greatest senators of all time. In 2000, the Senate had its own update of the greatest senators in American history, and they selected seven, and he was one of those seven. In Wisconsin, he is makes the list as, you know, one of the greatest citizens ever of Wisconsin. He's also recognized as one of the greatest governors in American history. And I'd like to talk a little bit about what he did as governor,
mm-hmm.
Because it was so successful that it was copied by states all across the nation, including in California. And one of the things that he did was he said, well, you know, look, rather than, you know, if we really want to make things better, and we've got most businesses are focusing on profit, let's look at some sort of disinterested experts. Let's go to his beloved University of Wisconsin, and let's talk to professors there and have them really study business and technology and so forth, not from a profit motive, but more, you know, how to make things more humane and better for workers. So he has this Wisconsin idea, this idea that the government and the experts at the university can really learn a lot from each other. And this idea is enormously successful in making political machinery more responsive to the popular will. So Wisconsin leads the nation in all kinds of stuff. It's the first state to have all of its candidates for public office subject to direct vote of the people. Before, for example, senators were the candidates were selected by the legislators, and there was all kinds of backroom deals and so forth. Wisconsin says, no, we'll have direct elections to do that. They have things like Wisconsin has a very important civil service reform. Now, civil service may not sound all that exciting, but if you look at newspapers prior to when the progressives took hold, you know, people were buying and selling civil service offices. You had secretaries who couldn't type. There were just so many kickbacks and so forth going on. Wisconsin says, hey, how about if we actually have qualified people working for the government, and they have to take a series of tests? So they implement that. They cut down on lobbying. They put in all kinds of lobbying restrictions. Conservation. So much of the big woods of Wisconsin had just been cut down in record time. So wait a minute, you know, we need to start talking about conservation and preservation. They put those sort of laws into place. Tax reform. They really went after the railroads, who were so powerful in Wisconsin. And so, as I say, all of these things transformed Wisconsin, made it a progressive model that other states were looking to.
Nancy Unger is our guest, associate professor of history at Santa Clara University in California. She is the author of Fighting Bob La Follette, The Righteous Reformer. It was published in 2000, wasn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Originally by University of North Carolina Press.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's been updated, a new preface, and it's in paperback by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. You can find out more at wisconsinhistory.org. As a paperback, it is really an excellent book. And as you say, the photography, the cartoons, the pictures are all really great. And it looks like a book that people should have in their library.
Well, I really think so. And I really... I know people are sometimes kind of shy away from political biographies because they think they're going to be, you know, a little dry. And I mean, I think it's impossible to make the La Follettes dry. I mean, he's just such a lively, interesting character, and I think that it's just his life is just such a compelling story.
He was a wrestler in high school, which may account for some of his fierceness and his pursuits.
Well, he was very proud of his little physique, and I have found in innumerable interviews, he's always asking the reporter, you know, feel my muscle, flexing his arm, feel my muscle. You know, he was proud of the fact that he had worked the land, he and his wife purchased Maple Bluff Farm there in Wisconsin, and even though it was a huge drain on their finances, it was always a problem. He wanted a farm. He wanted his children to understand about farm life and what that meant. And he's an interesting man in that, you know, he comes from that rural background, and like the nation, you know, he goes through this huge transformation. The whole nation's going from being a rural agrarian nation to an urban industrial giant, and La Follette is really, you know, there following all that along. I mean, he talks about as a kid when the news came that Abraham Lincoln had been shot. And that so surprised me when I first read it, because I so associate him with the urban industrial times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was there for that transition. So he really, you know, from that rural background, he really has a sense of how much things are changing and is really, he's excited about America becoming this urban industrial giant, but he's also very worried that some of those traditional values are going to be lost. And so he's really, really trying to walk that line and bring some of those values into the new urban industrial age.
Earlier in the program, you talked about La Follette's refusal to compromise as both admirable integrity and or self-righteous bullheadedness. In thinking about today's political climate, what are people looking for that you can see in La Follette that they should be looking at?
Well, you know, that's such a good question, and was frustrated watching both the major political candidates kind of, you know, wandering around from their positions more towards the middle and thinking, oh, for heaven's sake, you know, can't anybody have some integrity and stick to their position? And my husband always says, yes, but they want to be elected. You know, and they want to appeal to a broader mass. And I think that really is a difficult question that I don't have the answer to. What is ideal in a political candidate? Certainly the people of Wisconsin said, we want Bob La Follette. We want somebody who won't compromise, who will stand up and do what's right and won't settle for half a loaf. He'll say, no, you know, we're not going to do that at all. We're going to keep fighting until we get the whole loaf. And there are those, you know, there are people who I think to them, that is what really makes a successful politician. But there are others who say, no, we can't afford that luxury. You know, we've got a huge country with diverse interests, and we think a Bob La Follette is too narrow, and we want someone who can be, you know, who understands the art of compromise and can get things done. So I think it really depends on what you think are important qualities in a leader. I mean, La Follette was very clear on what he thought, and the people of Wisconsin were very clear in their support of that.
When you look at the political situation today, it's tempting to ask, what would Bob La Follette say were he to arrive on the scene? Any thoughts about that?
Well, I think that, I've had people say, well, you know, for heaven's sake, you know, nothing has really changed that much. You know, what would La Follette, you know, wouldn't he be disgusted? And I think that, you know, La Follette is, he's not naive. And he says, look, you know, nobody said democracy was easy. And he gives some very profound speeches about that. You know, democracy is a beautiful, difficult thing. He says America is not made, but is in the making. There is an unending struggle to make and keep government representative. So he says, you know, look, this is, you know, that's what happens in a democracy. That's the price that you pay. But he says, mere passive citizenship is not enough. People must be aggressive for what is right if government is to be saved from those who are aggressive for what is wrong. So he says, you know, you got to get out there and try. And I say to people who say, yeah, but we still have corruption and we still have environmental problems and we still have all, you know, these various things. I say, yes, but what if La Follette and his fellow progressives hadn't done anything? What if they had just let the railroads continue to control Wisconsin? What if they'd let backroom deals continue to decide who was going to be the senatorial candidate and so forth, let civil service jobs go to the highest bidder? I think that that he would say, you know, look, it's not perfect, but you have to keep trying. It's not so much it's what they did, but it's also what they prevented. I can't imagine what this nation would have been like without the progressives. Without the civil service reform, the direct democracy measures, the tax reform, educational measures, I mean, just this, you know, women's suffrage, this whole slew of things that really did change the nation.
Have you had a chance to appear at Fighting Bob Fest in the past?
Yes, I have. Yes, mm-hmm. I have. This will be my third fest.
So the 2008 version of Fighting Bob Fest is Saturday, September 6th at the Sakati Fairgrounds just east of Baraboo on Highway 33. It begins at 8:45 in the morning, and there are a number of breakout sessions in the afternoon, and your appearance is in the afternoon, correct?
Yeah, I'll be at one of the breakout sessions. And we have just a tremendous lineup this year. As you mentioned, you can see it on fightingbob.com. I just can't emphasize enough what a fabulous event this is and how envious I am that you have it there in Wisconsin. Because not only are there great speakers every year, but the crowd itself is just tremendous. And there's food, there's entertainment, but these breakout sessions, you know, we have speakers will speak, and then it's time for you know, the people who are coming to this thing to speak, and they talk about what they're doing and their ideas. And so it's not like you're getting talked at all day. You're getting really an education, a really sort of inspirational day, and I learn a lot from the people who attend Bob Fest about what's going on in the sort of the progressive America today.
And if people are interested in transportation to Fighting Bob Fest, I know they can go to the website fightingbob.com, or they can go to the Capital Times and check there as well. That'll be on September 6th at the Saucotti Fairgrounds. You have appearances at the Wisconsin Historical Society September 9th at 12:15 for a history sandwiched in that evening at Borders West on University Avenue in Madison. That's September 9th. Following day, UW-Milwaukee Bookstore from 4 to 6, and that evening, September 10th, at Schwartz Bookstore in Brookfield at 7 p.m. Thank you so much for spending time with us today, Nancy.
Oh, thank you, Jim. This has just been a great pleasure.
Nancy Unger, Associate Professor of History, Santa Clara University, the author of Fighting Bob La Follette, The Righteous Reformer. It's now published in paperback by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Sorry we couldn't get to all of the calls. Our thanks to Martinez White for on-air phone production. Tomorrow, coming up on Garden Talk, Mike Maddox, horticulture educator for Rock County in Janesville, and Chrissy Register, horticulture educator for Walworth County, will be with us, and you can talk to them on Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network.